Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for Saturday, September 6, 2014. It's my great pleasure today to be interviewing Dr. Kathy Forty. Now, those of you who have checked out the introductory material about Kathy, read some of her book, gone to Amazon, excerpts there, or however, I'm sure you're going to appreciate Kathy's presentation today about her book, Fractals of God. I'll be going into that. Kathy, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Kathy, you've got an amazing story. I've been loving your book, going into many dimensions of your journey and your near-death experience and what happened to you as you kind of got rebooted. Could you tell us a little bit more about that reboot experience? I think that's something that a lot of our listeners would like to hear about. I've had Dr. Atwater on the show, who's one of the gurus of near-death experiences. I know you've had her acquaintance and known her over the years, and
That's your experience,
yeah.
But when I knew her, never did I think that I was going to have this experience myself in such a profound way. So sometimes you have to really be, you know, expect the unexpected. That's what life is really all about. And although I had, you know, an early experience in, you know, when I was 18, I had nothing like this. And this was in 2003. I was a clinical psychologist at the time practicing and leaving work one day after working with clients and just felt something move out of my body like a whoosh. And with it came this, you know, profound sense of emptiness, like I was done with my work here on Earth. And that was a very, very strange feeling for me. Didn't know what to make of it. And I thought, am I getting ready to die? That was the first thought, you know, that because I'm a very goal-oriented person. And to have this experience was somewhat disquieting. I thought, well, what if I'm not getting ready to die? And I have to live another 20, 30, whatever years feeling this profound sense of emptiness. And that was just not going to cut it for me. But I didn't know what this was all about. And, of course, I went into my analytical mode, my overthinking left brain, and what could this mean? You know, am I depressed? Am I anxious? Is there something going on in my life that this I can, you know, attribute this to? And there really wasn't anything that was significant or even mildly significant. So I pretty much went home that night and thinking about this. And as I was thinking about this, I saw this swirling vortex in my head. The next thing, I was sucked into this tunnel, horizontal, feet first. And, you know, I always joke about that because, you know, you have these strange thoughts that go through your mind sometimes, and you're thinking, is this the way I'm supposed to fly through the tunnel? I thought, you know, and I was like, sort of like you'd be on some kind of conveyor belt, but some invisible conveyor belt, you know, horizontal feet first. And you know, I kind of pictured myself being some angel or Superman. And I realized this was, because I could see light at the end of the tunnel, I figured this was it. And the thought did run through my head, is this the tunnel everyone's been talking about? And if so, did I just die? And then, you know, what did I die of? Because I had nothing wrong with me. I was physically okay, you know, and it was a surprise. But, you know, the thought occurs to you, well, if I did die, I'm sure there's nothing I can do about it now, so let's just see where it takes me. I stopped right before I could get into the light, which was not making me very happy at the time. I tried everything in me to move into that light, and I remember thinking, well, this is boring. And with that thought, all this energy poured into me. It was like an implosion. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant, but it felt like a force was there, and it was spinning me around and sending me back through the tunnel as fast as could be, and voices in my head were saying, breathe, Kathy, breathe. And I don't know who these voices were. I didn't know at the time. But I, next thing, I found myself back in my physical body. My whole left side was paralyzed. And whoever these voices were at the time were letting me know that my heart had stopped and I was, in essence, breathing life. They were trying to get me to breathe life back into my physical form. And I listened to them because there was nothing much else I could do. You know, I didn't know where they were from or who was talking because no one was in the room with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was this kind of click, 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 click as I slowly connected my body into place, you know, and I could feel, I could start to feel again. And but I was left with this kind of pressure in my chest, and I thought I'd need to have to go see medical attention on it. And they told me I did not, that I was okay and that I would be okay. And, but, you know, within 24 hours after that, I was obsessed with, you know, the other world. And yeah, the other world meaning science and energy and space and you name it. And it became this magnificent obsession is what I call it. Because, you try to walk away from it and you can't. It just fills you. And I couldn't walk away unless I started to get on my computer between 3 and 4 a.m. every early morning, because that's when they were waking me up. And until I researched what they were showing me in my head, you know, I could not go back to sleep.
Yeah. So, well, it sounds like you got a geek reboot in the process.
Yes. People say, well, you know, what was that all about? Well, I didn't know what that was all about either, but I thought, this is strange that I've suddenly become fascinated with this whole other world. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't have any interest in this world to begin with. It's just I knew somewhat about energy. I knew about near-death experiences, obviously, but I did not have a really good grasp of science, nor did I have a good grasp of mathematics or any of that stuff. Those were kind of things that I thought, I'll just leave those to the geeks, you know. We all have our place in the world, and I didn't think that that was my place. And I was, you know, I was in for a crude awakening, you might say.
Well, what really amazes me is that you not only got into it and delved into it, but you actually created a vehicle for that understanding to be applied, you know, in practical terms. And I always say the true test of spirituality is practicality, that it really came around to an understanding and an application of quantum healing.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do with this information? I mean, you know, we all have sparks of enlightenment from time to time, but, you know, they purposely were what was my understanding was that this was a pre-contract coming into this life for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already agreed to this, and in the tunnel was just an easier way for them to merge with me and for that information to come through in a more coherent, smoother way. And they wanted to bring forth a particular type of technology that was based on mathematics. And, you know, and they started telling me that everything in the universe has, you know, is about math, and I was like, oh no. You know, because
yeah,
that was my worst subject in school.
Yeah, I was sitting with a guy at lunch today, the pizza parlor near here, and he's a quantum physicist, a retired guy up here in the mountains, he came from Dayton, Ohio. Anyway, we're getting into I was telling him about, I've been reading your book and telling him about your experience, and he just lit up when I was getting into mathematics as the universal language and how you had, you know, discovered it and, you know, came around to this understanding of, you know, pretty much the order of the universe and the, you know, the quantum field and quantum, you know, the DNA and how, you know, how the DNA functions with, you know, mathematical, you know, basically, you know, the digital, the binary mathematical, what goes on a DNA level with coded information and communications in the quantum field of the body. Anyway, I was pretty animated about it, and he really enjoyed it, but I hope he's able to tune into the show tonight, because, I mean, the story is just, it's just amazing, and I love it from my understanding of you know, I've always been kind of a geeky in the scientific way, and this kind of stuff is like the Ripley's Believe It or Not. You know, your story combines kind of the best of the mystical and an adventure story with discovery of. And I think it's great for women too. You know, because a lot of women are more right brain naturally than men are more left brain dominant.
And yeah. I started to see numbers all around me. You know, when they started to open my eyes to this, that everything had a mathematical rhythm. You know, even my toenail has a mathematical rhythm to it, you know.
Yeah.
And a concept, you know, symbols, everything. And, you know, and that our DNA was mathematically coded, but we didn't know how to talk to it because we didn't understand the language it was coded in.
Yeah.
And... but that we could, and that it was possible, and that people were starting to discover this, you know, and about our DNA, we think we know a lot because we've mapped the human genome, but you know that's just a tiny little fragment of it, and
yeah.
When you think that we only understand 5% of our DNA after all of this, you know, research and that's been going on for years, and the other 95% is a mystery. What's its purpose? It's non-sequencing, and what does that mean? You know, and that's really where all this wonderful our evolution is in that, and we are evolving. You know, but we didn't evolve all at once. You know, it's little parts of it are coming open, and this is an incredible time
this
to
is
be
a
alive.
Huge part, this is a huge part of it. I mean. Like you say, 10 years ago, the geneticists considered that 95% of the DNA was, they called it junk DNA, because they didn't understand it. And now they're discovering that this is my understanding of it, is what they're saying, is that it's kind of like the interface between your consciousness and the quantum field. That's the amazing part. It's just, and I'm thinking about, you know, I've been talking about, you know, the idea of the geometry of divinity for years, and this concept of heartware as an interface between consciousness and the, you know, internet and the internet for mass-to-mass communications. Well, now geneticists are calling it, you know, they don't call it the internet; they call it the inner net. The internet, and that they're saying that the brain, well, the DNA of the whole body, is an interface for consciousness, you know, on the holodeck, you know, between the ears and, you know, the brain field, and the heart field, and basically the entire field of the unified field, you know, the source field or the quantum field, and this concept to me when I saw what you were working with and how you're working with it with the fractal order of the holographic universe, I mean the fractals as far as the geometry of divinity or sacred geometry throughout all creation, and I love the way you weave it in your story, and you begin with your experience and then go into it, you know, like what's an algorithm, that chapter.
There's a divine plan at work, you know, even as a therapist, I found that I could teach most effectively by intertwining some of my own discoveries and stories without, you know, going in and divulging my, you know, all of my personal history. Of course, this book is a lot more personal than I knew that when I wrote this book, I'd have to reveal a lot more about myself. Which, you know, it's always been nice to kind of keep that in the background and didn't want it to be about me. But I see that, you know, I was in some ways, you know, as everyone is, that we're all being prepped for our missions from day one on Earth.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense when you take a step back and look at it and say, wow, you know, even that story about Fernanda. And how I got that dream to go see her in the hospital, and I was to be her message without knowing what that message was.
Just being there was the message.
I found out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, trust, from the book, you'll find that, you know, trust was a big thing that I didn't have a lot of back then, and I had to trust in not only my higher guidance that wasn't steering me wrong, because at times I would say to myself, dear God, do not send me on a fool's mission here. And because this certainly sounds like a fool's mission, to develop a healing device. And I use that word loosely, I mean, because it's the device doesn't heal. We all know that. No device out there heals you. You heal yourself.
But all you can do is create an environment in which the body will heal itself.
Exactly. And the whole thing was that, you know, to shift your body into a higher vibrational state where then healing from your own part was maximized, and you could take it and run with it. I mean, it's no coincidence that we've had an explosion in technology, you know, in the last 10, 15, 20, whatever years. That was all designed and divinely planned and seeded down, you know, from these higher dimensions to us to help us in this process, because as we're evolving, that is affecting other multi-dimensions.
Yeah, it's all connected in ways that when we come in, of course, we're entirely unconscious of it, and step by step, you know, with our each individual soul contract and the respective genetics, the respective astrology, psychology, you know, the family, the community, all of this, you know, is like I like to refer to it as the computer mind of God. That it's all in divine order, and of course we don't understand that, and we get a little sense as we get older that there is, you know, there's a divine order to the universe, there's a divine order to, you know, all that is, and it's difficult though sometimes in the world to, you know, as we try to, you know, create our own world, and everyone in their own way is always creating their own world, but we always tend to, you know, get caught up in what we want and what we think we want. It's hard to see the divine order where it's all leading sometimes.
What they say, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
We get what you need. And I know I was always telling my kids growing up that we get what we ask for, and I was thinking of intention when I said this, you know, whether we know it or like it or not in the larger scheme of things. And your experience as far as the larger scheme of things and how it came through, you know, this order of the universe and this harmonic, you know, the homeostasis and the balancing of energetics in the body. And this is about your technology that really fascinates me. I mean, this technology that is really this understanding of what the geneticists are now. And that section of the book just really, I'm glad you hit on that. When you talked about, you know, about, 10, 15, back in 2003 that they came to, you know, for the first time unravel the entire genome of the body, you know, the genetic, you know, all the genetic stuff that's going on. Of course, understanding, unraveling it is one thing, you know, and understanding it is another. My son actually works in the field with a company called Golden Helix, where for years he's been a programmer working with the algorithms that they used, for geneticists use in universities around the world, you know, to do analysis of the genome. And they use mathematical algorithms, you know, for sorting out the data, and they're just really beginning to understand this thing of epigenetics. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well... you know, that's a big subject,
yeah.
and probably not the one that's best to talk about that. But our genetics, it's our biological internet. You know,
yeah.
It determines everything. You know, the proteins in our body, how we age, how we develop, what color our eyes are. You know, and everything like that. And but they're finding out, you know, and this was what I was finding out back then, just as Bruce Lipton was writing his book on biology of belief, and they were mapping the genome and so forth, that you know, all of our genetics, it's not written in stone.
Yeah.
You know, it can be influenced by intent and belief And it's not just because you've been given this. This is what you've got. Just because it says all your relatives have cancer doesn't mean that you're going to have cancer.
Right.
You know, if you concentrate on having, if you think that you're going to have cancer your life, most likely you probably will get cancer because what it attracts right to you in some respects, your fear. You know.
But you can change that.
It's so changeable. And I likened a story in the book to that one client I had, that multiple personality client.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very polyfragment, had many different child alters and adult alters and so forth. But when her doctor insisted that I would come to any OBGYN examination because he had an examination with her once, and a child alter came out thinking she was being sexually abused and started crying and screaming and curled up in a ball, and everybody in the waiting room heard it, and he did not want a repeat performance of that, so he wanted me there to make sure that she was grounded and that an older adult alter stayed out. But the remarkable thing about this story is that when he did a test on one of the older alters when she was out and in control, it showed all the signs of ovarian cancer. And when another alter was out, it showed no cancer in the body at all.
At all. And he actually did physical tests and with the different alters.
They redid the test, and the same thing kept happening. And I thought, holy cow, the doctor scratched his head, because I don't think he even wanted to go to what that could possibly mean. But how we create, what's going on in our body
mental.
As well.
Yeah, how our physical is created by the mental. And how there's a bridge there somehow. This is what I say, we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not. And I sometimes say intention focuses attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in a dimension where, that intention manifests. And we precipitate it from the less physical to the more physical, like the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical bodies. And so the pure intention, it just makes sense that that's everything follows from that, and you get at the highest level of the highest order. It's pure intention for harmony with the order of the universe. The harmony of the spheres or the harmony, between the electrons, cells, and atoms, of your entire field of your body, and of course you get into a section of music and healing with music and healing with sound and harmonics in your book, and it's I'm fascinated with that subject. I always have been healing with energy, light, color, sound. And frequency healing, and the signature that every frequency has, the frequency of every vitamin, mineral, supplement, food, everything has a signature of frequency, which gets back to the mathematics. And you must have loved that movie called Numbers, or that TV show called Numbers.
Yes, that was interesting. And I started to, you're walking down the street and you see patterns and numbers and you start breaking them down and so forth like that. I don't usually do that as much anymore, but in the beginning I did, because they were trying to get me to open my eyes to seeing the world in a totally different way. And, at first I thought, oh, my God, am I going crazy, because this certainly sounds, like some switch in my brain has been turned on, and I don't know if I really want that switch turned on. Where am I going with this? I mean, it was so the fact that, I couldn't, being even near clients, I was starting to hear their things, their thoughts. I was starting to hear their feelings and things. And, I don't have that problem now because I know how to put into those kind of fields so it wasn't bombarded. But in the beginning, it felt more that way. And so I knew that my days as a therapist were coming to an end. Because I couldn't do that anymore. And I knew that one door was closing and another was opening, and they were slowly leading me into this door, to look at things. And it was a real journey because, I didn't think that I had the ability to do this, And, you know, I sought out other people thinking that they were supposed to do it for me, and that didn't work. When I do that, things just kind of shut down. And until I asked, you know, pretty much threw up my hands and said, well, I don't know what you want, you know. And I have to backtrack and, you know, I'll tell you in a minute who them are. But they pretty much said, we want you to do this. You know, you have the ability. It's all inside you. All this knowledge is already there, and you have done this work before.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back during certain times in our evolutionary process, too, to help with others to do this work. That's part of your soul's journey as well, you know. And mm-hmm. So it's like, who are they? They told me they call themselves the Founders. They said they had been here since the beginning of time, that they came from the eighth dimension and beyond, which is a dimension of pure consciousness and service to humanity and others. And mm-hmm. that they only come during that they had not been the ones that tampered with our DNA down the line as some others had, you know. But some of that all was for reasons too, which I'm not going to get into.
Yeah.
And you know, because everything has its purpose, and you know, everything is subject to change. As I say, everything in the universe is subject to change, and everything is right on schedule.
Yeah,
we still have free choice, but
it's all in divine order, and this is, you know, something that's always fascinated me. We have free will, but there are consequences. In other words, there's a divine laws, you know, cosmic law I sometimes call it, and there's this, of course, this basic law of action, reaction, stimulus, response, cause and effect. You know, we reap what we sow. But at the same time, you know, there's the free will aspect with our intention. I mean, there's the upward spiral with good intention, and there's the downward spiral, so to speak. And both of them are self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like if you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I came across a case of some gentleman who had it wasn't me personally, but I heard about this through a reliable source that he had some type of rare cancer disease, and he they gave him 2 weeks to live. And which I always find fascinating. They just say, you've got 2 weeks. But it was right around that time some experimental drug had come out, and he decided with them to take it because he felt he had nothing to lose if he only had 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a miraculous recovery. The cancer went away. And then 6 months later, they found out this drug was totally ineffective. And when mm-hmm. he heard about that, 2 days later, he was dead.
Yeah, and it's the placebo effect. Believing it so makes it so. I mean, this is the intention, the pure intention. You know, it's like I am, I can, I will. You know, by God's grace, done deal, winning from the beginning. You know, and that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And they've had all these studies that show that even with an ineffective drug or a sugar pill, if you believe it's going to, you know, make a difference, it does. And believing it so makes it so. And it's back to the point of, you know, most of the drugs that we've got on the market, they have never been proved efficacy. And but it's the belief in the, you know, the holy sacrament of the high priests and their, you know, their white robes, you know, the doctors, and it almost sometimes it makes me want to not even expose, you know, the big lie for what it is, because there's so many people now codependent on it, you know. You know what I mean?
I did not know where this you know energy, you know, technology device was going. But, you know, I knew that if I was stepping out of one area where I help people individually, at least in the psychological, emotional realm, mm-hmm. that, you know, I had to go into a bigger picture if I was closing one door. And I think that was my evolution. I see now I'm even moving beyond this technology to a whole other aspect, which probably would be another book, but, you know, another conversation another time. But I had no idea. I mean, they were showing me that not only did it have to include math and all the sacred geometry, proportions and so forth like that, but that this math could be played with the use of fractals, and that the fractals would amplify the math coming to the person. And these algorithms that were healing algorithms, and it took over a year to channel down all of over 5,000 different types of things, from the most amazing things that you would think of to even, you know, concepts. I mean, like the love, concept of love. There's an algorithm for the concept of love. There's an algorithm for erotic love. There's an algorithm for honoring thy partner's needs. There's an algorithm for, you know, you name it, fill in the blank. Well, you know, I could have gone on to infinity doing all these algorithms, but, you know, I still had a life to lead. And so at one point, it was like, okay, this is enough for now. You know, this is enough to start and be put into this device. And the thought, how do I deliver? Because this is a software-based device. You can put this in any Mac or PC. And with some hardware attachments, it will stream the algorithms to the body. And I couldn't think, how in the world am I supposed to deliver this, all these algorithms, into the body? And they would show me the picture of Superman in the Fortress of Solitude, unloading the crystals.
Oh, yes.
You know, they always look for, if there is something in your own memory database of experience that you can relate to, they'll look for that first. It's sort of like in dream symbology, when you dream at night, you know. It's sort of like you go to what's familiar and what those symbols mean to you. And this, they did the same thing, and that you know, his whole race, Superman's whole race, was encapsulated in the matrix of these crystals. And so I'm thinking, crystals? You want me to deliver them through this algorithm through crystals? And, you know, of course, my mind went to, you know, New Age shops and crystal, you know, suppliers and gems and so forth. And that they weren't interested in that, you know. They said, you know, because crystals are in every electronic component we can think of, because they know how it works, you know,
I built a crystal radio when I was 15 years old.
There you go.
You know, it's crystal radio. It's all based on a little crystal in it, and it's called a space banner. It's Allied Radio is a kit I put together, and it's crystal radio, and it's true. And this, and when you're talking about crystals and algorithms, of course, you know, some of your listeners will realize that an algorithm is just like a recipe for baking cookies. It's a formula for, you know, for achieving something.
That's right.
And
that's
right. And the understanding of this what you were developing with the crystals and algorithms, I think that's really a fascinating part of your book. And I was enthralled with it, because I've always thought, I remember in science class, you know, growing crystals. And when you were talking about how you actually found someone that would grow these pure quartz crystals to specifications that would basically carry the frequencies. The algorithms and basically communicate with the body. I'm familiar with this. I've worked with different types of Rife generators. You know, the kind and electrodiagnostics, where you hold the device that will communicate with the body and the energy field to the body. And sometimes it's a biofeedback device and otherwise. But could you explain how that works with the crystals and the communication system with your device?
Well, yeah. There's like 72 different programs. The device is called Trinfinity 8. Their idea too, pretty much coming through. Trinity and infinity merged, and the 8, you know, on its side is a symbol for infinity. Mm-hmm. And it also happens to be, you know, my birth date on the 8th. So I thought, oh, this is good. So when one tunes up a particular, you know, let's say one is working on doing something in a spiritual realm, because there are things they put in there for spiritual programs, for emotional release programs, for health programs, for rejuvenation, anti-aging type programs. So there was a little bit in there for everybody, and when you you know, pick a particular program, the algorithms start to play behind the fractals. And then the fractals fill the screen. And it's not like you have to look at the fractals, because as we all know, or as some of us know, I shouldn't assume we all know, is that fractals make a field. And they create a field around the computer, mm-hmm. which you can actually start to feel them. We have people sometimes when they come by it, we do shows. Well, you know, it's not that they're just mesmerized by the fractal. They just said, I was pulled in here. You know, they feel the field without actually consciously knowing that they're feeling that field. And so what we do is we plug in a signal box into your USB port, and mm-hmm. that signal box has cables with two crystal wands, kind of rods, like rod-like things, that are attached to mm-hmm. each end of those cables, and you hold them in your hand. Now, and those cables, make connections inside, you know, the crystal. They're double terminated crystals, which means that's a point at each end. And that's the best for taking information, quickly running it through the crystal and dispersing it and letting go and not holding on to the person's stuff or the algorithm so it can keep streaming through and let go immediately.
Uh-huh.
And that was the purpose of this. That, I mean, I'd never seen crystals attached to a computer before in this manner, and you know, it was pretty out of the box, you might say. And,
yeah, it really was.
Yes. And you know, but actually I'd run into someone at a show, and the person said, I remember this technology from Atlantean days. I didn't think
really?
I'd see it again for another couple of lifetimes. It's just
wow.
in a different form, but it's
yeah.
dealt with crystals as well, you know, hooked into the fields and sending information to the body, and the information to the body in a language it understands. And the body will know what to do with it. If it doesn't need it, it won't do anything with it. And, you know, they were also very, very, and also you hear particular types of sound that we use, Solveggio sounds, and over earphones. And that's the only thing that's frequency, set frequency related, because these Solveggio sounds of tones set up a resonance in the body, and that resonance helps make it really conducive for the working with the codes coming through. So it kind of preps the body.
Yeah.
So we have a whole synergistic thing going on a couple different levels, you know, the algorithms, the fractals, the crystals,
and the tones.
And it's interesting. It's amazing.
It's interesting because I know that the left brain corresponds more to the visual cortex, and the right brain corresponds more to the audio and frequencies. And, of course, we know that the left brain is more pattern recognition and images, corresponds more to one's self-image, and the right brain corresponds more to the nonlinear intuition, which is audio, you know. And how you're integrating the different modalities, and I was really excited to hear about your work with the Solveggio tones, because I go way back working with that, and the visuals with the fractals and the fields and the fractal fields. I think that's great that there's a visual a pattern that magnifies or qualifies or amplifies, you know, the algorithmic coding, you know, that sets up the harmonics in the body. I mean, to me, I see a synergy or a symbiosis, you know, working on the different levels, you know, of the body, mind, and spirit, and with what you're doing. And there's a holism to it, you know. Of course, holistic healing is, you know, far greater than the sum of the parts. You know, you work on the physical level, or you work on a psychological level, or a spiritual level, separate from the others, and it's going to affect the others. But when you work on them all together, it's really exciting to me to realize what you're doing, and of course I can really understand why you're getting phenomenal results with the device. And I watched the videos on your website, and I highly recommend listeners to if you get a chance. There's multiple videos that Kathy has on her website. Trinfinity
8, that's TRINFINITY, and the number 8.com.
And wonderful videos there, Kathy. I mean, it gives people a taste of what you're doing and how this is working. And, of course, The book is just, to me, extraordinary. You tie different things in, Royal Raymond Rife technology and the evolution of that, which is to say that the history of healing with frequencies directly, as Royal Raymond Rife was 80 years ago. And Nikola Tesla technology and other technologies, all these things are coming out. It's like the veil is lifting on all this ancient modern technologies, and it's really, to me, to see it all together in one book, and your journey is just, to me, it's really cool to see what you've gone through.
My guys wanted me to understand what was already out there, you know, because it was a crash course. So, you know, I had to learn about Rife, which I hadn't known any, or Tesla, which I hadn't even heard the name Tesla before, and to do some of my own experiments to see what was already available and out there and how far we'd come. And so I'd know that once the information started coming down to me in huge, you know, downloads, how that it was going to a different level.
Yeah.
And that apparently, you know, they had seeded this information down in a few different places, but apparently a woman got to it first. Women power.
Because
usually it's always the guys that get all the electronic stuff, and they figured out and put it all together. But I think that from hearing from somebody else, they said the one person that they knew that it had come down to as well, they couldn't figure out the crystal component part. And maybe they just threw it out because they thought that just sounds too bizarre. You know, that won't work.
Well, where you came from with this is really half the story. The fact that you weren't into math at all. You were like the opposite of a geek. And I've known a lot of people like that. Well, a lot of ladies like that. And the way you were metamorphosized, you know, you went and went through this process of discovery. I like your the story of how you were being directed to the Pythagorean stuff and going back to Pythagoras and the sacred numbers and the history of that, and because that subject always fascinated me. You know, Pythagoras and the whole community of people that were into this sacred geometry and basically mathematics, the order of the universe.
You know, they saw numbers were behind everything. And, you know, even Nikola Tesla, you know, he made a statement, you know, he was kind of, obviously he was a very interesting guy. Some people usually ask me, if you could go back and meet somebody from, you know, history, who would be on your list? And I said, definitely Nikola Tesla, you know. You know, not your normal response from a girl. But he said, you know, he would say things like, you know, just the numbers, if we understood the significance of 3, 6, and 9, we'd have the keys to the universe. And my guides were showing me that to do everything in multiples of 3 in the actual software and the development of it, and play it in, you know, 3 minutes or 6 minutes or 9 minutes.
Interesting.
Or if we're sending it remotely to a person long distance, the treatment, which, you know, I found out separateness is an illusion. It, you know, we can send it to them. They'd say, you know, if you're not going to use a photograph, you're just going to, a name has a vibration. Put the name 3 times on a piece of paper. So there again, we had the threes, you know, and so they would show me as much as I could understand, and sometimes I understand it, but maybe can't always articulate it as, you know, other people can. You know, I said, you know, they took a math dummy for a reason, because I did not have any preconceptions in saying, well, that won't work because I didn't learn that in, you know, mechanical engineering or that in, you know, physics or so forth like that. I was a blank slate. And so, you know, they could plant their fertile seeds, and I just kind of went with it. I mean, you know, sometimes along the way, they kind of had to tug me. But they'd throw me a proverbial carrot to keep me going. You know?
It's a wonderful story, and I like your the way you say that there's a frequency to a name. Of course, I got into numerology years ago, and I played around with that, with names and addresses and phone numbers over the years, but there's the concept of the name and the flame are the same. You know, that there's the flame, there's an energy, there's a frequency to it, and that, you know, when there's when you, there's the three parts of a name, you know, like Christopher Lee Rudy rather than Christopher Rudy, just Christopher Rudy, you know, the full name, so to speak, and the birth name, the name you're born with versus, you know, and, you know, and the record of that name or that frequency signature. It's like the frequency signature of things, you know, comes through in your book in a really interesting way, in multiple ways, to the frequency signatures of crop circles. That's always fascinated me, and I've had several people on the show over the years that were crop circle video producers, and their stories with the healing and the harmonics, the frequency that goes on with the different energy signatures of the geometric designs. And that's always fascinating. I mean, I've known there's something to it, and you have a little section on your book there where you reference that understanding, and I like the way that you kind of correlated numerous things that are going on that all relate back to, you know, the geometry of divinity or the order of the harmonic order of things. And so you can get a sense of reading your book, really, you know, the depth of field of the science that you're working with comes through kind of like holographically in your book, you know, from multiple perspectives. You're looking at the same concepts, but from different angles, and it makes it fun, and you can see your journey is how you discovered it, but it also is really gives a comprehension of the subject that brings me around to seeing where you're going with this, you know, getting a sense of where this technology is going, and how
we're
many people,
unlimited.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I can see. I mean, it's just really, I can see people having these in their homes. You know,
It was funny. I went up with a therapist friend of mine who's been referring this book to her clients because they're interested in their own spiritual soul journey. And she said, I am getting incredible movement in my clients because certain things in the book are speaking to them on levels I hadn't anticipated. And so she asked me, would I come into some of these sessions working with her with these clients because it was triggering things that were like sort of, you know, soul hidden, and they were time to come to the surface. And I'm thinking, this is really interesting. This is nothing I anticipated happening, that somehow it's talking. I've got a siren here in the background here, that it's talking to them on a soul level. And I think that that's incredible, because sometimes people say, you wrote this in your book, and I said, I did? I don't remember writing that in the book.
Well, yeah, there's a tapestry there, and it weaves a fabric of understanding. It's kind of like a Rorschach. People are going to project into it in different ways, and it's going to trigger different things in different people. But as I'm reading it, I'm kind of tuning into it from I have a way of reading that I'm just it's integrative, where I'm relating things to everything else, and as I'm going through it, I open myself up to being triggered like that. But to me, that's the whole essence of an interesting subject. To where I can see in a holistic way that different individuals that are in, you know, people individualized in different ways are going to respond in different ways, and that it's going to trigger them in different ways. And if the tapestry is rich and beautiful and colorful as the book is, I mean, there's just a lot there. Then it's going to basically anyone's going to find something, you know, that relates to their spiritual growth and development. And you, having your experience as a clinical psychologist, is a really good kind of objective observer send-off point, you know, for the journey.
Well, the thing is, like, some people say you can make the weirdest things sound very normal. And I said, you know, it helps having a PhD after your name, which means nothing in the long run. But, you know, some people are more likely to say, well, she can't be totally crazy. She is a psychologist. So,
well, your job is to step it down and make the complex simple. That is your job, you know, at least
That's
for 20
the same
years.
Thing with the book. Yeah. I tried to make the book simple. I tried to make the technology extremely simple, user-friendly, so people could understand. I mean, sometimes, as I said, I can see, you know, I've been in lectures where I see people's eyes roll back in their head, and they're not comprehending. And, you know, I once had a journalism professor said, if you can say it with a penny word versus a quarter word. That is more important.
Yeah, in journalism, that's true.
Yes, yes.
And
because the masses need to understand.
And I over the years, you know, I've tried experimenting with both styles, and I always get much better response when I step it down. I mean, you know, the cosmic love thing, you know, it's the whole concept of cosmic love. I mean, you can get into the fractal order of the holographic universe, and then you can just tell stories that are simple yet profound. You know, the parables. You can just tell a little, and actually, there is a lot of parallels, or what I call parables, in your book, The Fractals of God. I mean, there's just a lot there that people, as they're reading it, and I always like picking up a book and opening it up at different places. You know, wherever it falls open is the place to read. That kind of a synchronicity, and I really enjoyed you doing that with your book. Yeah.
Well, it's you know, where are we taking this? I mean, I find it even fascinating, the fact that, you know, our computers are developing artificial intelligence because they're connecting to us. And that's, you know, the whole cosmic realm, you know, is we're interconnected. And, you know, I know at one point, you know, with your computers, you know, your search engines and things like that, they figure out what your pattern is, and they run algorithms to spew back to you, you know, what you'd be more interested in a search engine than somebody else, you know, more spiritual maybe geared than maybe, you know, religious and Christian geared or something, or more political Democrat versus Republican views or so forth like that. You know, that's all been programmed in. But we're starting to get beyond that stage they're showing me now, that it's not just what we programmed in, it's now computers are learning. You know, what are evolving with us. They've only had a short time to connect with us, but as they do more and more, you know, we will see some amazing things.
I think what's happening is the computers make it possible as an extension of our brain, just like the clothes are an extension of the skin, or the shoes are an extension of the feet, or a car is an extension of, you know, your feet. That
the
computers
global mind.
We're becoming conscious of how we are conscious globally. It's an instant, it's a global village, instant everywhere, interactive. We're all connected with this new net reality, and we're becoming conscious of how we are conscious, and what the computers can do with I write about this a lot, and this is kind of my shtick, you know, with the whole thing of hardware, and the next big thing after hardware, software, and netware. You know, the integration of all the former technologies with the harmonics of the heart and heart coherence, and the you know, basically the frequency of the holy compassion or joy, or, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, of divine love, and of course it's really the heart coherence as a standard in the universe, as a frequency that is the fabric of the universe, is this golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, and it's a frequency. It's like the glue that holds the fabric of the universe together, and it's, of course, it's a fractal also. And my understanding of how that is an interface, and this is why your book is fascinating to me, because you get into this interface with the DNA of the body, and the interface basically with what I call the internet, with the quantum field. And this whole dynamic, the understanding of it alone, of this alone, and this is why your book is so helpful, it becomes a catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes a catalyst for an understanding, an awareness of how we are conscious, how the body works, how the DNA communicates, and how these algorithms basically are creating homeostasis and healing in the body, and how that works. It's just like the intention to understand it, and the understanding of it, it becomes then, in the field, it becomes a momentum of self-fulfilling prophecy. And
the part about the heart coherence is an extremely important component.
Yeah.
And even from these beings from the other side, I got to feel that. This is not in my book, but I got to feel what that was like. It was like energy went right into my heart, like from a million beams of light.
Uh-huh.
And this happened after the fact, when I and another connection with them, and it was just like waves like ripples of waves of love going down my heart and off my body. And it was like the most blissful feeling that they are there to connect and give to us in any way possible. You know, but we have to ask.
And you have to open yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open yourself to healing and connection.
That's right. And just to be open yourself that they're there, and basically to focus the arc of attention to their presence. And like, you know, like Hero Universe, you know, I am grateful, the attitude of gratitude that just kind of opens that floodgate of you know, the flow. And I call it the figure eight flow. You know, like to infinity, the figure eight flow between your heart and the heart of hearts, you might say, you know, the heart of creation. And that is the heart of the Creator, or you can say Omega or Alpha and Omega, the heart of Alpha and Omega. It is basically that frequency of coherence. And there's a lot on heart coherence. Heart math gets into that. And you're right, you know, you're riding a wave right now of a lot of awareness with this concept, understanding of coherence, you know, the Heart Math Institute and other organizations. And I think you're doing amazing work, Kathy. And we're going to have to do a wrap. I certainly want to thank you for coming on Cosmic Love today and for listeners that are here with us. I'm grateful for the way this is all evolving, and I highly recommend those who haven't had a chance to watch the videos on the Trinfinity8webs.com website, or you can go to Amazon.com and read some extraordinary excerpts from her book. I did that. Of course, then I had to buy it, but it was worth it.
It's a fraction of the cost for a little tidbit of enlightenment you might glean from it, right?
Yeah, true. And well, I see great things coming out of this, Kathy, and I wish you the best with this. I hope that this catches on and more people find out about what you're doing and find out what can be done with this amazing new technology. So thank you so much, Kathy. Is there anything else you'd like to finish up with, the message or anything?
No, I can't think of anything at the moment, you know, unless I drop a bombshell right at the end here.
Well, the show's been, I mean, the information you provided has been really good. I think for a lot of people being introduced for the first time to it, they got a good taste of it, and they can run with it from here. And so thank you so much, Kathy, and I hope to do a follow-up here before too long.
Okay.
All right. And thanks for listening, everyone. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either. The internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness, the five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.